Today, we address a matter of critical national importance, the epidemic of gender-based violence and femicide in South Africa. We have the privilege today of speaking with the representatives from the organization Women for Change, which is spearheading a national movement.
Could you please introduce yourself for our listeners and what you do?
My name is Malish Jogiak. I am the Advocacy and Operations Manager at Women for Change.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time, for taking time to speak with us. Given the statistics that you, Women have for Change, have stated in the statements, that is 33.8 surge in femicides and the epidemic levels in rape, could you articulate the core non-negotiable motivation that has driven Women for Change to launch this shutdown movement at this specific moment in South Africa's history?
We've been calling simply for gender-based violence to be called a national disaster. Women are dying at alarming rates. And at this stage, we feel like the authorities and the government aren't taking it as seriously as it needs to be taken. We are the fifth highest country of femicides in the world. And other countries have resources available to deal with gender-based violence. But South Africa just seems to be ignoring the problem.
Right. So Women for Change describe GBV as a war being waged and a pandemic. Beyond the numbers, how has this crisis fundamentally eroded the basic human rights and freedom of movement for women and children across South African communities?
I think it's simple. It's simple as we are not safe anywhere we go. Every moment of every day, we have micro thoughts of how to keep ourselves safe just in case we are attacked or killed or harassed. That's not normal. Our psychology has had to change. The way we teach our daughters how to live, how to go to school, how to interact with other people have had to change because we have to protect ourselves from the inevitable violence. That's not a normal way to live, and we have very little freedom even after apartheid ended as women because we are terrified that men are going to kill us just for existing.
Oh, well, so the shutdown encourages withdrawal from paid and unpaid labor. What is the critical non-economic symbolic power that inherits in women and LGBTQI community deliberately withdrawing their presence and productivity from the public sphere? So basically, what does this action demand from the society?
Well, the G20 summit is happening on the following day, and of course, the government is very focused on trying to raise whatever income we get from outside of the country. The problem is our women work in this country. We are part of this economy in ways that I think nobody really sees until we withdraw women and the LGBTQI community from the economy altogether. It will have such a major impact that they can't look away anymore. I think it's very important also to note that the comparisons between the money that we need versus the women that are dying should never be laid side by side. The lives that are lost matter more than anything we're trying to bring in from other countries. And I think this external focus that the country has, instead of focusing on our core issues in this country, is really problematic.
So, just shifting, the shutdown is a one-day action on the 21st of November, but it aims to a sustained impact. How is Women for Change strategically planning to ensure that visibility and collective anger demonstrated on that day are converted into continuous, non-stop pressure for accountability in the weeks and months that follows?
Well, this isn't the first action, right? We handed over a petition on the 11th of April asking for gender-based violence to be declared a national disaster. And since then have had three not very meaningful communications with the government in response to our request. And since then, we've been vocal on social media, calling them out, asking for accountability, asking questions about money that was promised that we've never seen. And we will continue to do that in the same way. And hopefully, if they don't declare it by the one-year anniversary of us handing over a petition, we will definitely hand over another one, since we've already reached almost, I think, at the end of the day, we would have reached 1 million signatures on our petition.
Okay, so the movement calls for allies to stand in solidarity. What is the most effective action-oriented contribution that men and institutions who are not part of the movement can make during the shutdown to genuinely support the cause, ensuring the focus remains on demands for legislative and judicial reform?
The most important thing they can do is speak out and hold government accountable. Call out the people who have promised things that have not delivered. I think businesses, we've seen a lot of businesses come in who are closing their businesses on Friday, who have changed their pictures. We've seen media all change to purple. That action alone is symbolic of allyship. I think for men as well, one of the things that we need to recognize is, despite the fact that men also in South Africa experience violence, right now we need them to amplify our voices and not try to take over it. Men listen to men. And if they speak with us instead of on behalf of us, the men that are creating these problems in the country are bound to listen.
Okay, so accountability for police, court, and social workers is demanded. So how can a transparent, independent public complaint and disciplinary process be immediately established that bypasses internal delays and ensures swift justice for survivors when officials fail them?
See, I think the thing is that that's an outside approach, right? We're already having this problem. We can't deal from it with it from the outside. Mm-hmm. We were promised education for the police and in the judicial system. They said that they've implemented it. We do not see the proof of that. We actually need to have the system overhauled from the inside. Because at the moment, between the police and the judicial system, all of the cases that we are dealing with are falling through the cracks. Conviction rates are lower than they've ever been before, and yet gender-based violence continues to rise. We need to completely overhaul the system and look what is wrong with it, and also the people who are making the system fall apart from the inside, because they are so self-focused and not necessarily focusing on victims. I can't tell you every day how many DMs we get with women telling us they've been chased away from police stations because what they're dealing with is called a family matter, even if they are being sexually molested. This is problematic. We have a societal problem and an education problem, and we need to stop educating from a basic level, but really give meaningful education to those who are supposed to serve us, like the police and in the court system. That is meaningful and actually changes how perpetrators are dealt with.
Oh, well, so making the National Sex Offenders Register public is a tool for transparency, right? So yes. What support and educational framework must accompany this public release to ensure that it empowers the communities for protections rather than leading it to fear or discrimination?
I think if, and hopefully when it is released, the conversation that there needs to happen is explaining to the public that this is necessary for your safety and protection. But also, if you see what has happened with the schools in the last couple of months, they deserve that information. There's so many teachers and principals that are being brought into schools that have a sexual abuse history, and now they are exposed to people's children. We need to explain to the public it's not about fear, it's about information that you need to access so that you can choose where to live, where to work, and where to put your children in school for their safety. That way we don't have to wait for something to happen before these people are convicted, if they are even if cases are even opened on them.
Okay, so just looking ahead, if the government fails to treat this as a national disaster, you have mentioned that there's going to be petitions that's going to be overly sent. But beyond just that, what is the movement's clear, nonviolent, next level strategy to escalate this?
Well, we have the Unbury the Casket campaign that's been running since the beginning of the year. We want to continue with that and carry it around the country. At the moment, we're engaging with international organizations as well on how to meaningfully present this representation of femicides in South Africa around the world. The plan is to continue to put government under pressure, to continue to advocate for our victims, and also at the same time to ask for accountability every step of the way. I think what is to our benefit as Women for Change is that we're not necessarily affiliated with anyone since we are not funded. So we are able to be as honest, as clear, and as transparent with what is happening in the country and call out the powers that be that aren't being effective without, I guess, consequences from a governmental perspective. We will continue to do that. Our voices will not be silenced, no matter what it is they do. And I mean, they will try, right? But at the end of the day, we speak for the people that message us every day. We hear horrific stories on a daily basis in our DMs. It's incredible how we are even managing to deal with some of these cases and yet have to fight a government. We recognize, I think this week was the shutdown going viral, is that this is no longer a fight between abusive and violent men and women. We have now established that it's a fight between government and the women of this country who are afraid for their lives.
Okay, so just for closing, for individuals, movements and organizations across South Africa who believe this is a cause but may feel overwhelmed, what is the final powerful message of enduring hope and concrete instruction that Women for Change wants to convey to ensure that this movement becomes permanent force for change?
Every little bit matters. And for 90% of the time, we can't see it. All of us, all of the organizations that work in this space, it's so hard to see that things are slowly getting better because we are involved. We may not see a sharp turnaround. That's very difficult to see when we're working on a case-by-case basis. But every one of these organizations, every one of the humans who sacrifice their lives, their time from their families to serve the women of this country, are making a difference. And we want to encourage them to continue working as hard as they are. We are all trying to collectively stop gender-based violence and abuse and femicide. And I know that it can be tiring and exhausting, but the resilience of this country has shown in the last 30 plus years proves that we will eventually get to a place where we can see this turn a corner.
That was Malise Jogheed from Women for Change, who joined us to discuss the organization's call for South African government to declare gender-based violence and femicide a national disaster. OFM News, Refilwe Bekane.